with your power, your dunamis power. That's the Greek word for power, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. We pray you'll fill us with your power as we open your word. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message about digital addictions, and I challenged everyone to take an audit of their digital habits, including myself. And it's been challenging since then. You know, the number of times throughout the day you think, oh, I might just open up Facebook and have a scroll, or oh, I might just post something, you know. It's part of the culture of the day and age we live in. And the word that God gave me a couple of weeks ago, as I brought that message, is we need to put down the phone and kneel before the throne. And when I preached that a couple of weeks ago, we had a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the service. People at the altar, people putting their phones on the altar, saying, sorry, Lord, we want to put you first, you know. And it was just a powerful day. And then last Sunday, I was actually preaching over at Russell Island. We had a great time there. And the church at Russell Island is planning to start their own soup kitchen shortly. And they sent a team over last Friday to learn how we do it, and they're going to start one over there. Praise God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I actually believe if every church did something like a soup kitchen, an outreach for the homeless and the poor, we would see a mighty harvest in our nation. And we've seen a new one start at Caboolture recently, the Pastor Oscar's working with, the Russell Island now. Matty Russell at Bow Desert started one. God's stretching out our tent pegs, amen? Isn't that awesome? And then I know Matty spoke last Sunday, and my wife and I watched it on Sunday afternoon, and we just had tears streaming down our faces. We just saw Matty's heart for every one of us just to return to God with all of our heart. And this weekend, that's continued at the men's retreat. We've had a real repentance, confession of sin, weeping, people coming to God with everything. And I'm believing today, at the end of this service, we're going to open the altar again. And we're going to invite people to come and surrender to Jesus. We're going to invite people to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit today. So I'm just going to say that up front. If you're in a place where you're a bit dry, if you're in a place where you've been struggling with addictions, you've been struggling with sin that's weighing you down, you've been struggling in relationship battles, whatever it is, we're going to open the altar at the end of the service today and invite you to come and get your heart right with God. And we're going to believe for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Anybody excited about that today? I am. Let me tell you, my life's been changed by altar calls. All throughout my teenage years, every Youth Alive rally that was on, I got saved every time. Every altar call, I was up the front. Even when I preach today, I like to enter my own altar calls. Every morning when I do my daily devotions, I need to have an altar call every morning before God. An altar call is just a time where you can alter yourself before God. Amen? See what I did there? A-L-T-E-R? Yeah. Because every time we come before God, His Holy Spirit can transform us and change us. Amen? So I've had a tough week, guys. I've had a frustrating week because of my car. I've got warning lights on my car that won't go off. I took it into the mechanic and they plugged this thing in and they did this diagnostic and they go, oh yeah, shouldn't be anything to worry about. We'll try and fix it. And they couldn't fix it. 2 days later, I took it in again. Still happening. You know, the cruise control's not working. And I don't know about you, who loves cruise control? I'm just always driving on cruise control because I've got a few tickets in the past, just quietly. And I'm a bit of a lead foot and I get distracted and I go a bit fast sometimes. But when I've got cruise control on, I know I'm not going to go above the speed limit. I'm just going to... And how many of you know the Holy Spirit is a bit like cruise control for us, you know? The Holy Spirit helps us go at the right pace, not burn. And the other problem every now and then in my car is I get the battery light will come on. And you think, oh no, I need to get a new battery. Oh. How many of you know some of us are a bit like that physically? Our battery's a bit low and we need to get a bit charged up. Amen? Well, that's what the Greek word for power is in the Bible, dunamis, which means, you know, dynamite, power. Amen? And if you know, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it was like power from on high, the Bible says. Who needs that power in their life? So all week I've been really frustrated because I've had the cruise control hasn't been working. The battery light comes on. The other thing that comes on, I can't remember what it says, but it says the forward warning system isn't working. You know, so basically, if I come up too close to another car, it goes beep, 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 beep. That thing wasn't working. It warns me to put the brakes on. And it actually automatically puts the brakes on as well. That thing wasn't working this week. So I could have run into anyone this week at the traffic lights. Sorry, Josh. You know it's dangerous sitting up the front, don't you, son? Don't worry, I'll say it, not spray it. It's okay, it's all right. Anyway, so I took my car in three times to get fixed this week, and they still haven't fixed it. The auto electrician has ordered some parts in, and they said, you should be okay, just don't park on a hill somewhere. I'm like, oh, it's a nice car. It's a good Kia Sorento. It's a good car, you know. Kia. Anyway, but I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like that in our lives, isn't it? We've got warning lights coming on. The cruise control isn't working and we're either going too fast or too slow. And if you know, when we've got the Holy Spirit, He can lead us in the right way in life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will lead us into all truth. Who needs that in their life? I need that Holy Spirit truth. You know, sometimes the battery's flat, like I said, and you need to get a new battery, or maybe it's just not working, and you know, and you need to get it recharged. You know, maybe that forward warning isn't working and you're bumping into things, you're making mistakes, you're doing all sorts of things wrong. This is what it's like when you live in the flesh. You see, there's two ways to live, the Apostle Paul says. You can live by the flesh, where you bump into things, you go the wrong speed, you get flat all the time, you mess things up. And this is the way we live in the flesh. We live in our own mind, in our own way. But the Bible says, don't live by might or by power, but live by the Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? When we live by the Spirit, we know how fast to go and how, you know, the right pace to go. We get charged up every day when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We get warning lights come on to don't go that way. You know, the Bible says when temptation comes, the Holy Spirit will always show us a way out, because the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to have the Spirit-filled life, not the flesh-led life. And you know, this is one thing that separates Christianity from all other religions. All other religions, it's you need to have this intellectual understanding of whoever your God is, and you've got to do your best to try and get there and do that. But the good thing about Christianity is when you come to Jesus, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit points you to God. The Holy Spirit points you, gives you the right words to say. Who's found the Holy Spirit's given the right words to say in a situation? I tell you what, I actually need that right now. I need that whenever I witness to someone, whenever I pray for someone, I need the Holy Spirit to give me the words. That still small voice, that inkling. The Holy Spirit helps me when I read the Word of God. Sometimes I read the Word of God and I'm in the flesh. I'm over this side. Sorry, this side. I'm not picking on you, but I'm just for the example, right? Okay. Not saying it's the goats and the sheep. I'm not saying that. But sometimes you read the Bible in the flesh and it's like driving through peanut butter. You're just not getting any revelation. You're trying to get something, but you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, you're in the flesh, you're not getting anything. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, ask God to give you revelation, you read the Word and it's like, oh, poom, poo, poo. It's like God speaks to you through the Word. Who's found that? Because the Bible says that the natural things, it's hard to understand the Bible when you do it in a natural way. You need to do it in a supernatural way, amen? That's the MPV version of that Bible verse, whatever it is, you know. But it's basically saying you need the supernatural revelation of God when you read the Word of God. So today I'm going to talk about fanning the flame of the gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember doing the Alpha Course years ago. Who's done the Alpha Course? Love the Alpha Course. We're going to be doing it after our service soon. And we're going to be having another one. I think we're going to have one at Danny Boy's over at Kelvin Grove with Cara. She's going to run one. We're going to be running an Alpha Course, which is all about who is Jesus? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Is the Bible true? Does God heal today? All those big questions. But then I love the Holy Spirit weekend. Who's ever been to an Alpha Holy Spirit weekend? Oh, it's the best. They talk about who is the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? All these things. And I love it because all over the world, people in conservative churches that aren't like Pentecostal, people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit through the Alpha Course. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. We need that, don't we? Amen. And I love what Nicky Gumbel says in the Alpha Course. He tells this story. He said, you know, people, you know, get born, they get raised in a home, and, you know, and it's like, what's the point of life? What's the reason? Is there more to life than this? He asked the question. He says, then, you know, you might graduate school, and then you might go to university, and then you might get some letters behind your name. Oh, that's going to be awesome if you get some letters behind your name. Oh, that'll be really helpful if you get some letters behind your name. And then you might get a nice job. And then what? Oh, you might get married. And then what? Oh, and then you might have kids. And then what? And then you'll get older. And then what? And then they'll have kids. And then you'll have grandkids. And then what? And what comes after that? Or to the reason we are here than just school, uni, job, marriage, kids, grandkids. Then what happens after that? I've actually researched this, and doctors have proven it. 10 out of 10 people actually die. It happens to every one of us, yeah. Yeah, I've worked this out. Enoch didn't. Oh, there's always one, isn't there? Thank you, Cecily. Yeah. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, for those who don't know that verse. Anyway, wouldn't that be awesome? But we all know that there's either heaven or hell. And whatever we do for our time on this earth, we want to make sure that we are living for God. And our purpose, that we have a reason for being on this planet. And I want to suggest to you that there's many people that live in the flesh, in the natural self, in their own strength, their own wisdom, and they live a life that's empty and shallow and no purpose, no meaning. But then there are those who have the Holy Spirit. Those who are born again, who receive the Spirit of God, and they are led by the Spirit of God. And they have purpose. They have a reason for being on this planet. When they get up in the morning, they know that they want to spend time with the Creator of heaven and earth, and they want to make a difference in the world. They don't just want to school, uni, you know, marriage, grandkids. They want to actually make a difference in this world for Jesus because they have the power of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody need the power of the Holy Spirit today? You know, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, and it's in a constant English phrase. It means actually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we leak, don't we? We get dry. We get filled with the Spirit, and then we go in the flesh. We need to always come back to being a Spirit-led people. And today I want to talk about fanning the flame of the gift of God. Let's look at this verse in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. In the AMP, it's very loud, the Amplified Version, it says this: that's why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, that special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know, I believe we've had a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this last few weeks, and we need to keep that flame burning. We need to keep that fire burning. You know, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which means one who walks alongside. And I love to tell the story. My daughter Lydia, she's 26 now, but when she was little, we lived in this little property which had a long driveway out to the road. And she'd wake me up in the morning, and she knew my daily ritual. Back then, they had this thing called newspapers. Anybody read a newspaper? Yeah. We used to get the local newspaper delivered, and this was before Facebook, obviously. Anyway, she knew that was my ritual. I used to go and get the newspaper and read it in the mornings. And she loved going out to the letterbox with me. So she'd go, come on, Dad, let's go. So I'd hold her hand and I'd walk alongside her like the Parakletos, like the Holy Spirit. I'd walk alongside. And then we might come to a puddle in the ground. And I'd say, honey, don't walk in the mud. Come over this way. And I'd lead her away from the mud. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He leads us away from the bad things. Amen. And then we might go past the neighbors where there's a dog barking and she'd be scared of the dogs. And I'd say, it's all right, sweet, it's okay. And I'd say, hey, get back there. You know, and I'd protect her from the dog. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He picks us up. He leads us. And then we'd get to the letterbox and she'd try and pull the newspaper out, but she only had little hands, not like my big, strong, ripped, muscly arms. And I'd say, here, honey, let me help you. And she'd put her hands on the newspaper and I'd put my hand on hers. And we'd pull out the newspaper together. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us strength, doesn't he? Amen? And we'd pull out the newspaper, and then she'd see the horses across the road. And she'd want to run across the road to the horses. And I go, wait there. Wait for the semi-trailer, honey. Because she didn't realize it was dangerous to run out on the road. But I knew. Because I'm a dad. I know everything. Well, really, the Holy Spirit knows everything, doesn't he? And she'd try and reach up and pat the horse and give it some grass, but she couldn't reach, so I'd pick her up again and we'd pat the horsey together. You see, the father loves it to bring joy to the child. The Holy Spirit loves to lead us to do good things, amen? And then we'd repeat it. We'd go on the way back. We'd watch the road again. We'd take the newspaper. We'd watch the dog again. We'd walk around the puddle and we'd go back home together. Friends, that's a picture of what it means to have a Holy Spirit-led life. The parakletos is the word for the Holy Spirit. We get led by the Holy Spirit in our workplace, in our homes, in our Bible study time, when we're outreaching and witnessing, when we're handling our finances, when we're visiting someone in hospital, the Holy Spirit will lead us. And friends, one of the saddest things I see in this world today is carnal Christians. Let's go back over to the fleshly carnal side. Carnal Christians. I'm not saying you guys. I'm just saying this is just this, up the front here. It stops here, okay? Yeah. But for the purpose of the example, the carnal Christians, they're trying to work it out in themselves all the time. They're trying to do what God wants them to do in their strength, and they burn out and they walk in the mud and they get hit by the truck and they can't get the newspaper. They have no power, they have no wisdom, because the Holy Spirit is meant to lead us. We need a Spirit-filled life. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized means full immersion, amen? And there's gifts that are available to us. There's fruit that we should be bearing when we have the Holy Spirit life. And one of the saddest things I see is carnal Christians constantly wrapped up in sin, constantly having relationship problems, constantly having financial problems, constantly, you know, messing up their lives because they're carnal Christians, not being led by the Holy Spirit. I even wonder whether they're born again, whether they really have the Holy Spirit at all. That's a whole other theological thing I'm not going to unpack right now. But maybe you're in a place where you know you're a carnal Christian trying to work it out on your own. I want to encourage you to cross over to the Spirit-filled life. Come to the altar at the end of the service today and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Amen. Jesus said, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Friends, the difference between that side and this side is asking and receiving what God has for us. God has a gift available to us. My mum was born again in an Anglican church, and she knew all the stuff about Christianity. She was a smart, intellectual woman. She lived a good life. She was doing all this good stuff, but she was dry. She had a nervous breakdown. She had all sorts of struggles with her kids for some reason. I don't know why. But she said there was a man from Tamworth named John Smith. I tried to look him up recently and couldn't find him. There's too many in the phone book. But this man named John Smith, a Christian businessman, said to her, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And she said, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. And he said, I can pray for you and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And she goes, no, I don't want that. That's weird. And he said to her, why wouldn't you want a gift that God has for you? She said, all right. Let's try it. And he prayed for her, and she felt the Holy Spirit fill her. She started speaking in tongues. She started prophesying. God filled her with power. And then she read this book about how it's for your children as well. And at the age of 8 years old, she laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I received the Holy Spirit at the age of eight. And God spoke to me at a very young age. I don't understand how it all works, because I didn't really get born again until I was 15. But I remember receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues from a very young age. Now, some of you are thinking, what's this speaking in tongues bit? Let me explain. So many of you know Acts chapter 2. All the disciples gathered together in the upper room. Jesus said to them, go and wait in the city until you receive power from on high. Somebody say power. That's what they were going to receive when they waited, when they received the Holy Spirit. So 120 of them in the upper room. There's probably about 120 of us here today. Imagine that. 120 people hungry for God to come and do something. They're waiting in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind. And fire, tongues of fire came on their head. Flames of fire came on their head. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And in this chapter, the tongues that they spoke in were earthly languages. They were speaking in different languages because there were different people gathered in Jerusalem that day, and they spoke in languages. And people outside heard them praising God in their own tongue. Isn't that cool? And then Peter, I love the Apostle Peter. Before Pentecost, Peter was a bit questionable, just quietly. Peter denied Jesus three times. We all know the story when the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus. You know, Peter, when there was when Moses and Elijah came at the Transfiguration, Peter said, "Let's build some tabernacles. Let's build a tent. This is really cool." You know, like Peter kind of said things without thinking sometimes. Peter was one of those guys that was a bit cool all over the shop, up and down. He went off fishing instead of following Jesus. All that kind of stuff. Peter was a bit all over the place. But then came Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, Peter, the leader of the New Testament church, he stood up and he preached a message. And 3,000 people got saved. Because how many of you know when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you get boldness, you get fire. And God can speak to you and through you. That's my prayer every day. God, speak to me and through me. God, more of you and less of me. That's what we're praying when we're asking for the Holy Spirit to come. God, fill me. Baptize me. Baptismo is the word. Fully immerse me with the Holy Spirit. I want all that you have for me, God. Who wants that? Who wants the gift of the Holy Spirit? Every day we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. So we know the Apostle Peter was filled with the Spirit. We know that throughout the book of Acts, there are many times when people were filled with the Spirit. There's a time when Peter was preaching and people started getting filled with the Holy Spirit as he echoed. And the Bible says they spoke in language. So you can speak, when you speak in tongues, you can speak in a human language. I've heard of people speaking in Russian or Hebrew or whatever when they're speaking in tongues, you know. Sometimes there can be the gift of tongues where someone in church might have a tongue that they speak that nobody understands, and then somebody else gets an interpretation and they'll get up and they'll prophesy and give the interpretation of the tongue. Who's seen that in church before? We've seen that happen here a number of times. I know Cecily a couple of times had a tongue and I've interpreted and vice versa, you know. It's happened in our church sometimes and it should happen in the church, amen. In the book of Corinthians, it's very clear. But then the Apostle Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. And he's talking about the prayer language of speaking in tongues. And this is where the Bible says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edify means to strengthen. Just like when I go to the gym, just quietly. I'm strengthening myself when I do my push-ups and my sit-ups. I need to do more, just quietly. I need to be edified. I need to be strengthened. We need to be edified. We need to be strengthened, don't we? When we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, we get edified. And often I find when I start praying in tongues, like even just yesterday, can I just be honest? Yesterday I was exhausted. I'd had an elders retreat this week, which was awesome. I had a big pastors and leaders meeting on Thursday and another one on Wednesday, I think, somewhere. And I had this big thing on, I preached at the men's retreat on Friday night, and I had just been going all week. And then yesterday, my team won the inaugural men's camp trophy at the men's retreat. Hallelujah. We played volleyball and Jenga and tug of war, and I was on fire. And then at about 3 o'clock, I was like, phew. I was just ready for a nana-nap. So I went and lay down and I said, God, I'm so exhausted. I've got to preach tomorrow. I've had such a big week. I just feel flat. And I just started praying in tongues. I just started praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, God, fill me. I need a fresh outpouring. And I had a beautiful sleep. 20-minute power nap. Dunamis power nap, you know. And then woke up ready to take on the world again. Went to the night service last night. And I just felt God give me prophetic words. You know, even on the weekend, Joshy got up and shared a prophetic word. God's raising up a new generation. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we prayed for people. And many of the men last night were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. Now, it's a bit of a controversial issue in some churches. Some churches don't talk about this, but we don't mind a bit of controversy here. Is that okay? Some people say, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the only evidence is speaking in tongues. Some churches say, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence can be speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I believe. No. I believe it can be. I believe sometimes you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues straight away. But I believe that the gift is available to all believers. And sometimes you just got to open that gift. Sometimes people say, yes, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. And they go, God, why hasn't it happened yet? You know, you've actually got to open your mouth to speak. You've actually got to make some verbal noises to start speaking. And, you know, sometimes it might be like a baby, you know, ba 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 dee, dee, dee. You might just start saying something strange. But here's what happens when you're praying in tongues. The Bible says the mind is unfruitful, but the Spirit is connecting to God who is Spirit. You could be praying for millions of things in tongues. You could be praying for our PNG trip. You could be praying for someone in a homeless shelter. You could be praying for your father to be saved. You could be praying for anything because it's a supernatural gift. This is what I love about God. When you tap into the supernatural realm, it's endless possibilities. You could be praying for God to anoint you with the same anointing that Billy Graham had, and God might be doing something special in you. Who knows? You could be praying for something that's going to happen in 10 years' time. Who knows what you could be praying for? Doesn't it blow your mind to think when you pray in the Spirit, you're entering a supernatural realm where anything is possible? And don't we need that? I want to be a Spirit-filled person, not a carnal Christian, not filled with the Spirit. I want to be a Spirit-filled believer. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, that special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And I love the fact that the Apostle Paul talks about laying on of hands. Now, there's a couple of kinds of laying on of hands according to the Scripture. So maybe when someone is commissioned as a pastor, the elders of the church will gather together and they'll lay hands on them and they'll commission them. And the Bible says, don't lay hands on someone hastily. So make sure that someone's in the right place and you feel God is saying, yes, they're commissioned. Then you lay hands on them and you send them out to do ministry. So you got that? The other kind of laying on of hands is what we have at the end of our service every week, where we invite people to come to the altar and we pray as we lay hands on them, that the Holy Spirit will fill them. We pray for miracles to come. Who's seen miracles in this church? I believe in the power of laying on of hands. We prayed for a guy here once who had asbestosis for 15 years, cancer, and he didn't have long to live. We laid hands on him and prayed for him. He felt the power of God, the dunamis power of God fill him. And he went to the doctor that week and got an x-ray and he was 100% healed of asbestosis. Give God the glory. I remember one time we had a man who was part of our men's ministry. He'd worked with the Gideons and he was a well-respected man, worked with the Brisbane City Council, well-respected, successful man. But he had a horrible porn addiction and his wife had kicked him out. He had all sorts of troubles in his life. He'd been in some successful churches in this city as a leader, but had ended up living in a hotel, separated from his wife at rock bottom. And he sat up the back here for weeks in tears every Sunday. And then he came forward one week. And as he came forward, I didn't even get to lay my hand on him. I just remember seeing him come forward and I went to pray for him and boom, he hit the ground straight away. And he was down on the ground. The Holy Spirit was doing work in him for years. Sometimes that's what happens. People fall down. He was speaking in tongues. He was praying. And I was just sort of going, oh, God, what are you doing? Anyway, I prayed for some others and I came back and I said, are you okay? And he said to me, I've just seen Jesus. He said, over my right shoulder, he said, I saw, there you go, Jesus. He actually saw a vision of Jesus, the risen Savior, shining down on him that day. And he said in that one encounter, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. He gave up his porn addiction instantly. He went back to his wife and asked for forgiveness and reconciliation, and they got back together. He's now moved down to New South Wales, and he's thriving in his marriage and his walk with God because of the power of the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. God can change us. He can transform us in an instant. With the doom, talks about Timothy, and he suggests encourage Timothy to be strong and bold. It may be that Timothy was timid, but it's also true that Timothy had a large responsibility. When Paul spoke to Timothy, you know, Timothy was definitely gifted. He was definitely valuable in the kingdom of God. And Paul was discipling Timothy, and he spoke to him many times. Perhaps Timothy had normal courage, but whatever the case, Timothy had an enormous responsibility in him. And if it was true that Timothy, he might have been a man that avoided confrontation, but it was good that he saw Paul's example. Paul, who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he definitely had deep love. He definitely never shied away from confrontation. You see where the Apostle Paul publicly rebuked the Apostle Peter in Galatians. Paul was a bold man of God. Paul's one of my favorite. Who loves Paul in the Bible? I love the Apostle Paul. We need Apostle Pauls to lead the church in this day and age, don't we? A bold, strong man of God. Timothy also had a shepherd's tender heart for the sheep. And Paul wanted to develop within him the boldness necessary to really lead and protect the flock. Now, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and over 25 times in different places, Paul encouraged Timothy to be bold and not shy away from confrontation, to stand up where he needs to stand up and to be strong. And because of who Timothy was and the responsibilities he had to bear, this is what Timothy needed to hear. And you know, if Paul said that to Timothy, Paul's also saying that to us today. God is telling us to be bold. God is telling us to be strong. God is telling us, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. We need the Holy Spirit to give us boldness. We need to stir up the gift of God that's within us. You know, many Christians these days are passive. Many Christians are sitting on their blessed assurance. And they should be standing on the promises, not just sitting in the premises. Amen? That's one of Pastor Chris's lines. Thank you, Pastor Chris. I'll credit you with that. I love that line. Let's see if I get a better reaction this time. We should be standing on the promises, not just sitting in the premises. Amen? Pastor Chris liked that. Hallelujah. That's good. Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's within him. Now, some gifts that have been given to us from God have been neglected. Some of us bury our talents and our gifts that God has given us. But God wants us to give everything. God wants us to be fully surrendered. That's what it means. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means there's less Matt Prater, more Holy Spirit. And if you know, that's what we need. We need less Matt Prater, more of Holy Spirit. Amen. We need less Cecily, more Holy Spirit. Less Katie, more Holy Spirit. Amen. Less Josh, more Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We die to ourselves. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus. When we're stirring up the gift that's in us, the Greek word is anazapurio. I think I got that right. And it means to kindle afresh, to keep in full flame. There is no necessary suggestion, therefore, that Timothy had lost his early fire, although undoubtedly, like every Christian, he needed an incentive to keep the fire burning at full flame. Can I just get an honest show of hands for a quick altar call right now? I'm not going to call you forward, but quick. Who feels like they used to have a lot more fire and the flame's flickering a little bit? Okay. Half of you are honest. That's good. Yeah. The other half, please come and pray for me. I'm being a bit cheeky here, but I just want to say that's normal. It's normal. You start with that new Christian zeal. Who remembers that new Christian zeal? Oh, you come to Jesus and you're all fired up. You want to read the word every day. You want to tell everyone about it. You want to give a church. You want to serve a church. You're on fire. And then you have some money problems, or you have a relationship problem, or you get offended by some dad joke that the pastor told, or, you know, something happens and you just stop coming to church every week, and you come every 2 or 3 weeks, and you read your Bible just every now and then, but it's not really speaking to you, and you try and witness, but you make a mistake and go, I'm not going to do that again, you know. You start on fire for God, but then soon the honeymoon's over, baby. You know that saying? The honeymoon's over, and we can lose, our flame can start to flicker a bit. That's why Paul is saying, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Come back to your first love, it says in the book of Revelation. Keep the fire burning. You know, when you have that, that bonfire outside and you put some fire starters in it and get it going, we need those fire starters, don't we, amen? But then after a while, the wind comes, it gets a bit cold, it might rain a bit, and the coals start to fall away. They start to get cold. They start to flicker. You need to put some petrol on the fire, some fuel on the fire, put some more fire starters in. You need to get some nice wood in there to get it burning again, amen? This is what Paul's saying, get the fire burning again. And, you know, I remember hearing in my youth group, my youth pastor said to me, if you take a hot coal out of the fire and you put it on the ground, it'll go out quickly. But if you put it back in among the hot coals, it'll stay stoked up. And that's why we need church fellowship, amen? We need to be fired up together, amen? When we worship together, our flames are getting fanned by the Holy Spirit, amen? When we read the Word of God, when we prophesy, when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we're getting edified. The flames are getting hotter, aren't they? Amen? That's why we need each other. That's why it's important to be in the house of God. You know, the Bible says God sets the lonely in families. And, you know, we're a family. We're a motley crew. We're a strange bunch. We're all different, aren't we? Different nationalities, different ages. You know, there is no reason why all of us would be gathering together on a Sunday morning if not for God. Amen? God's clearly brought us together. And even though we're a family, we are a bit dysfunctional at times. And we need to have a bit of a family meeting every week and say, look, guys, let's get back on track. Let's fan the flame again. Let's come back to the fire of God. Let's come back to the purpose that God has given us. Come back to the gift of God that's within us. And then the Apostle Paul says it came through the laying on of hands. We believe in the laying on of hands here in this church. That's why our altar call time is so important. And I want to encourage you. Some of you, at the end of the sermon, you're like, oh, Matt's going to go through the sinner's prayer and he's going to invite people for the same old sermon. Please don't have that attitude when we finish the service. Please start praying for me. Please start praying for everyone that's going to come out the front. Please ask yourself, do I need to be out the front? Because we are a ministry-focused church, amen? We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When people come forward, I'm believing for demons to be cast out. Who's believing for that? I'm believing for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen? I'm believing for healing and signs and wonders to confirm the preaching and teaching of the Word, amen? We need to have ministry time at the end of every service. Pastor Vince and I were just chatting. I've just read his book, by the way. Amazing book. Get a copy if you can. Pastor Vince and I were talking about the churches in France that he's been working with, for many, many years. And I said to him, Vince, I love the fact that in your focus of your ministry, you always talked about the ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You talked about healing, signs and wonders. You kept those Pentecostal values. Because there's a lot of Pentecostal churches these days that aren't actually Pentecostal churches. They say they are, but they don't move in the Holy Spirit anymore. They don't prophesy. They don't have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. They don't have signs and wonders and miracles. Friends, if it's in the Bible, it's good enough for me, amen? If it's in the book of Acts, it should be happening here, amen? That also means we should be persecuted, by the way. I'll just warn you. There's nothing wrong with that. Pastor Chris was sharing at the camp. He's concerned about China because for many years he was ministering in China and there was a lot of persecution against the church. But it actually made the believers get on fire for God. Sorted out the true believers from the fake believers. And there's a fear that if there's less persecution and the government says, oh, you're doing a good job with what you're doing, that they'll start getting in bed with the government and they'll start watering down the gospel and they'll stop moving in the Holy Spirit and they'll just become a fake church instead of a real church. Friends, I believe persecution will come to Australia more and more. I believe we will have all sorts of government things trying to stop us from doing what we're called to do in the future. But we need to keep meeting together in the name of Jesus, amen? And it's going to make us get on fire for God, amen? I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. I'm going to come back to the Word of God here, okay? Before I get too confused, too out of this. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. If you're taking notes, here's a few scriptures about the Holy Spirit. Acts 8, 17. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Friends, when you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be willing to receive it. And you need to activate it by starting to speak as the Holy Spirit leads. Sometimes you start in the flesh and then the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And you start, you know, you've got to empty yourself and get ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to receive what God has for you. If I want to give this cup to Josh, I've got to give him something. Here you go, Josh, do you want it? You've got to take it then. Come on. Come on, don't you want it? There you go, he took it. He received it, didn't he? Well done, Josh, that was good. You passed. How many of you know it's as simple as that? You just got to receive. Ask that you might... No, you can keep it, it's yours. It's a gift. I'm so generous, aren't I? I'm a good, good father. It's who I am. Acts 9:17. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sock of Acts. You see people having encounters where they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 3 to 4. Having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia where they sailed to Cyprus when they laid hands on them. And here's another key. They fasted and prayed, didn't they? I know that tomorrow there's a national prayer and fasting season that's being launched. I think it's 21 days. Bobby, do you remember that? Yep, 21 days. So tomorrow, 21 days of prayer and fasting for revival in Australia is beginning. You can search it up on Facebook. There's a thing called the World Prayer Assembly happening in Perth, which is fascinating, that prayer leaders from all around the world felt God speak to them and say, yes, it's time to have a gathering in Australia. And we had a guy preach at our church from the International House of Prayer with Mike Bickle in the US, and he came and ministered here, and he said, God spoke to us and said, we need to be praying and fasting for revival in Australia, for the church to come alive in Australia, for the church to be sent out as workers in the harvest field, for the church to come back to God and be filled with the Holy Spirit in this nation. Amen? And so tomorrow, there's 21 days of prayer and fasting that many people are going to be joining in. Maybe you've never fasted before. I encourage you to ask the Lord about what kind of fast you could do. Maybe it's a Daniel fast where you fast meats and sweets. You just give up bread and sugar and things like that, and meat and sugary things. Maybe you do a juice fast where you just have juice and liquids. That one, you can still have coffee with that one as well. I like that one. Maybe you do a full fast where you just have water. For 21 days. Whatever kind of fast you do, I believe there is power that's released when we fast. Amen? Remember the disciples tried to cast out a demon and they said to Jesus, we couldn't cast this one out. And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. There's an anointing, an authority released when we fast and we sacrifice to God. Plus, you save lots of money. But a lot more do this. You know, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You know, when I fast, it's like doing a defrag on my computer. It's like turning it off and on again. It just cleans out all the bugs in my system. Good for your physical system, but spiritually, it just resets me to come back to God. Maybe you need to reset your walk with God, and maybe a fast is what God's calling you to do. It could be 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 40 days. You look at the times, Jesus did a 40-day fast, Elijah, there was a number of people who did 40-day fast and power was released. when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, it says the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. And the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." It's a great picture of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And then Jesus was led by the Spirit to fast for 40 days. He was tempted by the enemy. You should know the story. He overcame the devil with the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God in context. Because how many of you know when you take the text out of the context, or are you left with as a con? You've got to look at the context of the Word of God, amen? What's before it? What's after it? Who was it written to? You've got to study the Scripture in context. Jesus quoted the Word in context, and he overcame the devil. It said he went led by the Spirit, but then he came back in the power of the Spirit after that 40-day fast. Who wants the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit? Ask that you might receive. Seek that you might find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Acts 19, verse 6, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I love the way that God speaks to us through his word and reminds us all throughout the book of Acts that it was, you know, it's really the acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's, some people call it the acts of the apostles, but it's really the acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working through people in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this quote from John Wesley. He said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire none of my vision, that God will raise up an army of believers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, functioning in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and will go and do missions, will go and plant churches, will go and win souls, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. The same thing the disciples did, we are called to do." Amen? Three people are excited. Jesus said the same power that raised, well, the Bible says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. J. John, one of my favorite preachers from the UK, tells the story that there was this little Welsh preacher that got up to preach. And for 45 minutes, he just said, "God is awesome. God is powerful. God is mighty. God is a provider. God does miracles. God is amazing. God is wonderful." He just talked about how amazing God was for 45 minutes. And everyone's like, "Where's this going? What's this? What's the point? What's the 5 minutes? Just talked about how amazing God is." Then at the end, he closed his Bible and he said, "If this God lives in you, then surely the neighbors should notice." And he walked off the stage. I believe it. If the God of the universe has filled us with his Holy Spirit, surely the neighbors should notice. Surely your spouse should notice. Your kids should notice. Your co-workers should notice. People should be able to tell that you eat, sleep, and breathe a relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. We need another Jesus Revolution. Who's seen the movie Jesus Revolution? We're screening it here on a Wednesday night in a few weeks' time. Invite your friends. It's on our Facebook. You can look it up. It's about Chuck Smith, who was a stale, fuddy-duddy Calvary Chapel preacher in California. Lovely guy, but he was dry. He was a bit burnt out. He was a bit old school. He had a bunch of fuddy-duddies in his church. He had a small, safe, little nice church with nice carpet. And all of a sudden, this hippie named Lonnie Frisbee turns up. And he's like a Jesus Revolution hippie, crazy, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost man, you know. And he's dressed in all the hippie gear and he's crazy. Looks like the guy out of The Chosen. Anyway. Anyway, a bit of an in-joke there, I should explain. There's a great TV series called The Chosen, and the guy that plays Jesus in that is Lonnie Frisbee in the movie, so a little connection there. So I encourage you to see The Chosen, but if you haven't seen The Jesus Revolution, it's all about this hippie who turns up at Chuck Smith's church, and he starts saying, "Well, man, the churches don't welcome us wherever we go. Why don't you welcome us into your church, dude?" You know, he's this hippie crazy dude, you know. And Chuck Smith's like, "Well, I guess you can come to our church," and you know. And there's this great scene in it where all the hippies start coming to Chuck Smith's church. And they're all sitting in this area here. This is the good area, see? You've redeemed yourselves. You know? Yeah. All the hippies are sitting there. And a couple of the old fuddy-duddies in the church are sick of the hippies. They just want to go back to the same old stale church. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, but it's a good scene. It's a good scene. A couple of the old guys, they've complained to Chuck Smith about the carpet being dirty because of the barefooted hippies in the church. And so they stand up and they walk out of the church. They storm out, just like the Pharisees or the Sadducees would. They're called Sadducees because they're Sadducee. And one of the elders was about to walk out with the other elders, but instead he sits down in between a couple of the hippies, puts his arms around him and goes, "Let's have church, hey?" And I thought, that's the kind of thing Jesus would do. He'd sit with the hippies and welcome them in. Because anybody's welcome in the house of God, amen? And next week, instead of Chuck Smith, the next week he sat out the front of the church with a bucket and a towel and he washed all the hippies' feet before they came into church so the carpet wouldn't get dirty. But also a bit of a prophetic symbol that that's what Jesus would do, because Jesus would always go low. He'd always care for the last, the least, and the lost. He'd welcome the hippies, amen? And he washed their feet. And this sparked a revival all around California. Who remembers the Jesus Revolution? Some of you should remember it, yeah? A bit before my time, just quietly. But out of that, Christian music was birthed. You know, bands like Love Song and then Keith Green and all these, Larry Norman, all these Christian artists started coming out of that church. And God did this work there. The Vineyard movement started, this Jesus movement. And you know what? Pastor Greg Laurie, the movie's about him, he said when he got saved in that Jesus movement, he saw a difference. Instead of people coming to the church, it actually was ascending of the church. The church got out of the four walls and took Jesus to the streets, took Jesus to the hippie festivals, took Jesus out and about in the music scene. And the Holy Ghost filled them with power and they went out. And friends, let me tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just so you can have a nice tingly sensation. Go, "Oh, that felt good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go home now and feel good about myself. It's all for me, 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 me. iPhone, iPad, iMac, it's all about me, 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 me." That's not what being filled with the Holy Spirit's about. Acts 1:8 tells us, "You will receive power from on high. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth." You receive the power of God, and you're not a dam where you keep it to yourself. You're a river where it flows, amen? Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, streams of life-giving water will flow out from within." Who wants that life-giving water? Every day, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have that life-giving water to go and be who Jesus called us to be. If you're taking notes, I want you to write a few of these or get a screenshot of these. There's a whole bunch of things that happens when we get... "But one who is coming more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit promotes holiness. Somebody say holiness. You don't hear that word in churches sometimes these days. Holiness means to live a pure life before God, to live a life. The Bible says, "Without holiness, we will not see the Lord." God said, "Be holy because I am holy." The Holy Spirit addresses evil. When we receive the Holy Spirit, just like when I was walking with Lydia and I was the paraclete, I was walking alongside her, I saw the mud puddle and I said, "Don't walk in that." That's what the Holy Spirit says. Don't get caught up in that wicked relationship. Don't get caught up in telling dirty jokes. Don't get caught up looking at that porn on the internet. Don't get caught up in that mud. And that's because how many of you know when you're stuck in the mud, it's not a good place to be. The Holy Spirit is our paracletos. He will lead us away from evil. Some of you are caught up in your sin and you're stuck in the mud. Jesus wants to wash you in his blood. Hey, that rhymes. You might be stuck in the mud. He wants to wash you in his blood and make you clean. Amen? I'm preaching myself happy today. That was a good one. I like that. The Spirit addresses evil. The Spirit empowers us. This is what we need, the power of God to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. The Spirit granted special skills. There's a scripture in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. There were 70 elders with Moses temporarily received prophetic powers from the Spirit. There were guys that had, when they were building the tabernacle, they were equipped craftsmen and artisans who had the Holy Spirit. I believe in these last days we're going to see a revival of the arts in the church. We're seeing a revival of music in the church, aren't we? Worship music. We're seeing a revival of painting, aren't we, Liz? And pottery and things like that that glorify God, you know. We're seeing a revival of poetry. We're receiving a revival of people writing books, people making movies. I mean, look at the B-grade Christian movies we used to watch 5 years ago. Look at the standard now. Who's seen Sound of Freedom, by the way? Amazing movie. If you haven't seen it, incredible movie about one man that stood up against the evil of pedophilia. And we need more men to stand up against that, amen? Sound of Freedom, I encourage you to see it. Look at Jesus Revolution. Look at the great Christian movies. God is fanning into flame the arts in these last days. And it's a sign of the Holy Spirit moving in people's lives. Maybe you feel like you've got an artistic gift or a creative gift. Use it to glorify God, amen? When you receive the Holy Spirit's power, you get special skills. And lastly, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit points to the Messiah. All throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies about the coming Messiah, noting that the Spirit of God would rest on him. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, it says the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. In Jesus' early ministry, he went to Nazareth, to the synagogue in his hometown, and he opened the scroll and he read the verse from Isaiah that happened to be the reading for the day that the Jews were about to read. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor," amen? And he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The Spirit of the Lord was on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Matthew 11, verse 28 says this in the Message version. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus is saying to us today, come to me. You might be weary. You might be heavy burdened. Jesus is going to give us rest. This is the good thing. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you then have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Who wants that in their life? Galatians 5. We function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues, interpretation. Gifts of faith, miracles, signs and wonders. All these things happen when we receive the Holy Spirit. And I just wondered today, some of you might be running on empty. Maybe you've got the fuel light coming on, like my stupid car right now. Maybe your fuel light's come on and you know you're going to run out soon if you don't get filled up. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary. And you know what? It's for anyone. It's for someone who's been a Christian all their life, attending church all their life, or it's for the person that's here for the first time today. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll pour my Holy Spirit into you. Die to yourself and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Father God, today as we join together in the house of God, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to come. Just like at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come in this place today. Jesus, you said, ask that you might receive, seek that you might find, knock that the door will be open unto you. Today we're asking. Phil, open the altar for prayer today. I want to ask another question just while we're praying. With every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe today you've heard about this Holy Spirit. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard what the Word of God says, but maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins. Or maybe you've fallen away from God and you want to come back to Him today. The most important decision you can ever make is to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Savior, but to be your Lord of your life. Maybe you're in a place where you're unsure whether your sins are forgiven. You don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know if you're saved. Today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer where you can start that relationship with God today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father in heaven but through me. It's only through Jesus that you can be saved. But you need to have faith in Him. You need to ask Him to come into your life. Confess your sins to Him. We're all sinners that need a Savior. Are you ready to ask the Savior to save you today? Are you ready to surrender your life to Him today and ask Him to be the Lord of your life? With every eye closed, every head bowed, in just a moment we're going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you want to pray that, and jump your hand up so I can see it today. I see that. That's awesome. Who else is there? I see that too. That's awesome. Anybody else that says, yes, I want to come to know Jesus? This is between you and God. We've got two people over there so far. Is there anybody else? If you haven't put your hand up yet, put it up real high so I can see it. You want to give your heart to Jesus today and have your sins forgiven. Just put your hand up real high so I can see it. Good on you, buddy. Good on you. That is awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. I see that over there as well. Praise God. Anybody else? Don't want to rush this moment. You want to surrender to Jesus today? Just put your hand up real high if you haven't done it yet. Anybody else? Well, let's pray this prayer together. Just repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, why don't we stand to our feet, and I'm just going to invite Pastor Chris to come over to this side here. And for those that prayed that prayer, we want to give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus. So I'm just going to ask, for those that just raised their hands, just please come over here and grab a Bible. Let's give them a big hand as they come forward to grab those Bibles today. God bless you guys. Well done. Oh, punch me in. You missed me. There. You leave me hanging. There you go. Punch me in. Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else that raised their hand, just come forward. And we'd love to give you a Bible today and pray with you. And we're going to have some baptisms shortly. But before that, we're going to have some baptisms of the Holy Spirit today as well. Amen. Now, I believe that today people are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people are going to start speaking in tongues. People are going to start prophesying. Now, I know it's weird. That's why a lot of churches don't do this stuff, because it's weird. But hey, it's in the Bible, so it's okay with me if it's in the Bible, amen? So I'm going to invite you to come to the altar if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. If you're hungry to receive the power of the Holy Spirit today, I want to invite you to come. And can I have the prayer team come, the pastors and leaders to come forward as well? Because you know, the Bible says, they laid hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So come to the altar today. Come forward, guys. Come forward, guys. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you today. And some of you, you'll feel the power of God touching you. Some of you, you mightn't feel anything, but it's an act of faith to receive the power of God today. So come to the altar. Come forward, guys. I'm going to pray one prayer for you all first up, and then we're going to pray individually for you as well. So let's just all put out our hands to receive. I'm going to pray one prayer first. Father, I pray for all of these precious sons and daughters that are coming to the altar today. Come and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let the power of God come and touch every one of them today. We pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that people will receive the gift of tongues today. People will speak in tongues and prophesy and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. I pray for fresh fire to fall on everyone right now. Holy Spirit, come. And I just encourage you to open your mouth and start praying in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and through you today. Come, Holy Spirit. It might sound a bit strange, but this is how it sounds like. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, just ask for more. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me today. The power of God come in this place. If there's any other leaders that want to come and pray for those out the front, come forward. Come and pray today. Bobby, you can come and pray for people if you like. Yeah? Nada, if you want to pray for people. Pastor Clem, you want to come and pray for people? Lynn, come on, you guys have got it. Come and share it. Hallelujah. Sean, come.